Okay, good afternoon. Shavua Tov, good vach to everyone. Great to be back together and to start the new Zman, a very promising Zman. We long for when we will be together in person with cookies and cake and fruit and the energy of a Kol Torah of learning together, not in that order. But until then, we're still grateful for this platform, for technology that enables us to be together. And in fact, enables us to be together. Many are not in Boca or South Florida right now, so we're able to learn together in ways we otherwise wouldn't. I want to express our gratitude to Rabbi Simcha Shabtai for his continued leadership in the Dr. Yitzchak Belazon Beis Medrash of BRS and the Afternoon Kollel in particular. It's a point of great pride that we have that we have four afternoons a week and such a robust series of shiurim and such a esteemed Magide Shir. And of course, a huge continued thank you to the Frohlich Financial Group who continue to sponsor our afternoon kollel of learning. Okay, we're going to continue what we had been doing, which was contemporary halachic topics, tackling different topics. And I want to tackle a topic today. We've just begun the new cycle of Kriyas HaTorah, of Torah reading. Hopefully everyone completed Shnei Mikra V'Echad Targum, the responsibility or the obligation, the halacha, the mitzvah of reviewing the parsha, being Mar B'Sedra each week, twice, with Unklus or with Rashi. It's not our subject for today to get into exactly the different ways we can qualify to be Mar B'Sedra. I don't want to speak about being Mar B'Sedra, Shnei Mikra V'Echad Targum, as much as the institution of Kriyas HaTorah altogether. The halachic institution of Kriyas HaTorah, and specifically a corollary of that, which is when we need to correct the Baal Koreh. You know, there's often a firing squad. We just had this the other day. We have extraordinary Balei Kriya who've worked tirelessly through Corona, who've worked tirelessly during the Yom Tovim. And if they make one mistake, often people will jump like a firing squad. Bullets, they yell from everywhere in the room. And the question is, what needs to be corrected? Who should be doing the correcting? What is our individual and collective obligation or responsibility in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah to hear the Torah being read? That is our subject for this afternoon. Okay, can you see the source sheets? Are they large enough? You see them. Okay, good. A little bit larger? We're good? Okay, we begin with the Gemara Baba Kama Pei Beis. And the Gemara there, Baba Kama, tells us the following. Sheikorim B'Sheini V'Chamishi. There was an enactment that we have to read the Torah on Monday and Thursday. Says the Gemara, Ezra T. Kane. Who established this? Who is the one who put in practice that we have to read the Torah every Monday and Thursday? Was it Ezra? It was instituted far earlier, when the nation first was born, when the Jewish people came into existence. And how do we know that? Because we have a Braisa. And the Braisa says, the Jewish people, after crossing the Dead Sea, went 3 days without water. Dorshe Rishumos Amru, regarding this pasuk, it's a very fascinating description. The Dorshe Rishumos Amru, who are these individuals? Who was empowered with the responsibility to be the Dorshe Rishumos? These people who expound the psukim. So whoever they are, what they taught was, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, that the word water is a metaphor for Torah. Shenemar V'Kotzame L'Chula Mayim. Pasuk says, whoever's thirsty should go to water. And water is a metaphor for Torah. Whoever is spiritually parched, spiritually dehydrated, spiritually thirsty, should go to Torah. So, Kevin Shalchu Shloshos Yamin below Torah. Since the Jewish people traveled when we came out of Mitzrayim all the way back to the onset to our birth as a people and a nation, we went 3 days without water. It means forget water. Forget the malnourishment or the dehydration. It means a spiritual dehydration, a spiritual withering. 3 days without Torah. Nilu, we became exhausted. So the Nevi'im Shebeinei Metiknu Lahem. So the Nevi'im arose and said, Shukorim B'Shabbos Mafsikin B'Echad Shabbos. Read the Torah Shabbos, take a break Sunday. Korim B'Sheini, read it Monday. Mafsikin Shlishi Revi, take a break Tuesday, Wednesday. Korim B'Chamishi, read it on Thursday. Mafsikin Erev Shabbos, take a break Friday. Why? Kedei Shelo Yalinu Shlosh Yomim B'lo Torah. So with this schedule, Shabbos, Monday, Thursday, with that enacted schedule, it was determined that we would never go 3 days without learning Torah. 3 days without hearing and reading. And you see the essence of hearing and reading is learning Torah. So how could the Gemara Baba Kama have said Ezra was misakein it? It long preceded Ezra. It goes back to our original exodus from Mitzrayim. 3 days without water is 3 days without Torah. So they created an antidote Shabbos, Monday, Thursday. So says the Gemara now, Meikar tiknu chad gavr t'las psukei. Because that early institution from the prophets was that one person would read three psukim. The minimum amount to qualify as Torah reading and Torah learning are three psukim, a unit of three. So in order to avoid going 3 days without Torah, 3 days without water, 3 days of spiritual dehydration and malnourishment, one person, three psukim. Inami t'las gavr t'las psukei. Or maybe it was three people, three psukim. Kened Kohan Levim Yisrael. Also, who Ezra came along, Tikein Tlos Agavre, he instituted there would be three aliyahs, Kohen Levi Yisrael, Vasara Psuke Keneged Asara Batlanim. And the minimum we read on Mondays and Thursdays is not a minimum of three psukim, or nine, but a minimum of ten. Ten psukim. Why ten? It corresponds with the Asara Batlanim. What are Asara Batlanim? This is the Mishnah Megillah. Asara Batlanim does not mean 10 Kiddush Club guys. It does not mean 10 guys who sit and do nothing all day. It doesn't mean 10 poker players, 10 Moshev Leitzim, 10 Batlanim. Batlanim means people who are batel from work in order to sit and learn. And there the Gemara, the Mishnah Megillah asks, Eze Ir Gedola. The Mishnah Megillah is trying to define, for the purpose of Megillah reading and other halachas, what's a small city, a big city. And the Mishnah says, what's an Ir Gedola? What constitutes a large city? And the Mishnah says, Koshe Yesh Basara Batlanim. Whoever has 10 batlanim. And again, in that context, batlanim does not mean lazy, good-for-nothing, oisvarf, time-wasters. Batlanim means a koilel of 10. 10 people who sit and learn full-time. 10 people who are willing to sacrifice instead of pursuing a career, a profession, instead of earning large amounts of money, they enrich themselves spiritually with Torah, 10 batlanim. So therefore, Ezra, originally the Takanah became Man of Mitzrayim, so as not to go 3 days without water, 3 days without Torah, become spiritually dehydrated and malnourished, was to read every Shabbos, Monday, Thursday, but to read a minimum. Ezra came along and he said, no, Monday, Thursday, Kohen Levi Yisrael, three aliyahs, and combined, it has to be 10 psukim. And if you look at what we read on Mondays and Thursdays, even though, you know, it would be much more, you would divide three people times three would be nine, you'll see one of the aliyahs always has four psukim because we need to read a minimum of 10 psukim. Zog Taisus, there. Tos there, Baba Kama, Pei Beis. You see it, source number two? Can you still see the sources? Okay, good. Says if you need to avoid going 3 days, why take Tuesday, Wednesday off? Why not take Sunday, Monday off? You'll read Shabbos, take Sunday, Monday off, and read on Tuesday. In other words, if the whole original enactment was don't go 3 days without hearing or reading or learning Torah, why specifically Monday and Thursday? Moshe Rabbeinu, if you look and you do the calculation, he went up to receive the second set of luchos. What happened to the first set? He destroyed them. He dropped them. He smashed them very courageously, very boldly. We just read at the end of Vezos HaBracha, Le'inei Kol Yisrael, Rashi quotes Yashikoach Shashibartim, Hashem gave him a big Yashikoach that Moshe dropped and destroyed the luchos for whatever reason, not for now. When he went up in order to receive the second set, he went up on a Thursday. It was after Yom Kippur. And he came down on a Monday. So you see that Thursday and Monday are auspicious times. Moshe was able to earn forgiveness, appeasement for the Jewish people. And he was able to recover what we had lost to be able to retrieve the gift of a second luchos. So you see, Thursday and Monday have a special nature, a special quality to them. They are auspicious days. So I don't know whether Moshe made it an Eis Ratzon. That's why he went up Thursday and Monday. Or because he went up Thursday and Monday, it became an Eis Ratzon. The chicken and the egg, the cause and the effect. I'm not sure which Tosos means. Shahaya Eis Ratzon ba'oso aliyah v'yirida. It was an Eis Ratzon with that ascending and descending. So kav b'sheni v'chamishi. Since Moshe earned the Torah, the lasting Torah, the Torah was a second luchos, on a Thursday and a Monday, it became set and established as an auspicious days, as a predisposed for spiritual elevation, connection, worthiness. And that's why we established on Monday and Thursday. Says Tosus, and that's why we have fasts that are known as Bahab, following Regulim. We could all use losing a little weight. Could all use losing a few pounds after the Shalosh Regulim. where we eat, particularly in Chutz La'aretz, we have 2 days of Yontif. We have four extra meals between the first days and the last days. So, but that's not the reason for the Bahab. So, Bahab, Beis, Hey, Beis. Monday, Thursday, Monday of fasting. Why do we associate fasting with Monday, Thursday? For the same reason. For the same reason of, these are predisposed days, auspicious days. They are Yemei Ratzon. They are when Moshe went up and when Moshe came down. And this long Tosfos, he goes through the calculation, the dates, and how we see why Monday and Thursday are more special days. The Maharal, Rav Yehuda Lowy of Prague, the great Heilige Maharal in his Chiddush HaGadol on that Gemara Baba Kama Pei Beis Amen Aleph, also weighs in, and he expands on Tosfos' insight. And he says the following, he quotes Tosfos, "Umigamara mashma ki takana zos hayakodem zeh." It sounds like the establishment when we came out of Mitzrayim, the Maharal is bothered by a question. None of you asked this question. Let me look at the chat and see if any... Oh, 1 second. Somebody had something on the chat. Oh, Ira Schwartz. No, Ira is asking a different question, which we'll get to in a moment. It's a good point, but it's not the Maharal's point. The Gemara itself said, what do you mean Ezra was Misake Monday and Thursday? It wasn't Ezra. It was long before. When they came out of Egypt, they went 3 days without water. They were dehydrated. We learn it's not water, it's Torah. You can't go 3 days without Torah. They established Monday, Thursday, Shabbos. So when did they establish Monday, Thursday? Long before Moshe went up to get the second Luchos. So how could Tosfos say Monday and Thursday is corresponding with going up and down for the second Luchos? Migamara mashma, ki takana zos ha'isakodim l'zeh. The takana of Monday and Thursday preceded Moshe going up for the second Luchos, preceded Monday, Thursday being auspicious, predisposed days of Yemei Ratzon. So what is Tosfos talking about? Good question, right? With me? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to assume you are. Can't hear you, but I'm going to assume you are. Da'akrav ayachol gimel yamim hayakodim zeh. Al peirsh zeh ki yom beiz v'yom hem miyuchadim l'din. Ki asheni miyuchad l'din ve'achamishi miyuchad l'din. V'davar zeh yadu l'chachmei leiv. Says the Maharal, explaining what we were asking before. Did Moshe go up on a Thursday or Monday because he knew they were Yemei Ratzon? Or is the fact that he went up on those days turned them into Yemei Ratzon? Says the Maharal, they were already Yemei Ratzon. That's why he went up then. So when Tosfos says Moshe Rabbeinu went up for the second Luchos Thursday and Monday, that's not what made Thursday and Monday more special days. Excuse me, they were already more special days, and that's why Moshe was already Misakein to read the Torah Monday, Thursday. And what makes them more special days? They are miyuchadim l'din. V'davar they do l'chach me'lev. V'bnei kach omr m'sech ha'shabbos, she'en l'hakiz be'beiz be'hei, she'bo beiz din mala u'mata yoshim. We know that beiz din, the dayanim, sit on Monday and Thursday. The beiz din sit on Monday and Thursday, both beiz din shamata and beiz din shamala, both heavenly courts as well as earthly courts, all meet on Mondays and Thursdays. They are days of justice, days of judgment. That's why a person should not do bloodletting on those days. Don't take any risk. It's also why, for example, the Gemara has in Ksubas, the very beginning of Ksubas, tells us when a wedding would take place. Would take place right before, if the husband finds that she is not in fact the status he expected and anticipated her to be, the next morning he can go to Beis Din to complain. So we see that it was universally accepted, both the Beis Din Shamala and Shamata, both upstairs and downstairs, courts met and sat on Mondays and Thursdays. These are days of justice. These are days of judgment. I don't necessarily understand the deeper or more esoteric meaning of what the Maharal is getting at, but you see that Monday and Thursday are designated days of judgment and justice, both upstairs and downstairs. Somehow the reading of Torah is a response or an antidote or corresponds with that, and that's why it was established all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu when we came out of Mitzrayim, and expanded upon in terms of how many psukim we need to read by Ezra at a later date. We also know that Monday and Thursday were market days. That's the Gemara in the first parak of Megillah, that the reason that we read in those villages is because they would come into the city on those market days, and those were the days of the market. Why were those the days of the market? Because those were the days that Beis Din sat. So all of it is interconnected. We see there's a designation to Monday and Thursday. If the whole reason that we read Torah 3 times a week is in order to ensure we don't go 3 days without Torah. We could have chosen other days to avoid a three-day break, but we specifically chose Monday and Thursday. Tosfos has the reason, the Maharal expands on the reason. Moshe went up and down to receive the second luchos. They are Yimei Din, they're days of judgment and justice, and therefore Torah corresponds with it. Good. Now, what exactly goes all the way back to when we left Mitzrayim? This notion that we read the Torah. Torah was given to us. Now, is Torah reading Doraisa or Darabanan? Sounds like it's Darabanan. It's a Gzera. It was enacted by Moshe, expanded upon by Ezra, and the idea is that we read and learn the Torah. Can't go 3 days without learning Torah. It means that when the Torah was given, it was given to us, and it was our sacred document, our manuscript, our blueprint for life, our instruction manual, to be learned to inform our lives. There was no cycle of reading it or publicly, collectively studying it. That was enacted later. Question is, what was enacted? What came with that? And Chaim Fira points out, Monday and Thursday, we say our market days, Beis Din days, Torah reading days, and also longer Tachanun days. They're fast days, Bahab. All of these anomalies or these designations we find specifically Monday and Thursday because they contain that character, that energy, that theme. It's when we fast, Bahab. It's when we say the longer Tachanun. It's when we read the Torah, and so on and so forth. Source number 4, Shari Ephraim. Kosov Mikroi Kodesh Zel Shono. Dokya Nagina Mikora Misinai Balanu. Ubeis Kabbalah Satora Nitla Nagina. Kedisa Bialkara Kroya Anenu Bekol. The trup. Where does the trup come from? The cantillations. The trup that we have, the way that we read the Torah. Karma va'azla v'chulei. So, Shari Ephraim quotes in this Mikrai Kodesh that it comes, based on the Medrash Yalkut, that it too comes mi Sinai. It's very powerful. It means it goes back and it dates back to not only the Torah text, but the chant or the cantillations, the trup, the way we read it, goes all the way back. So the Torah text we have, lo muchlefes, it hasn't switched, it hasn't been corrupted, it hasn't been distorted. Our Torah text is ongoing and is perfect. And not only are we able to maintain the text of Torah and its accuracy, but the niggin, the cantillation, the trup with which we read Torah, also we have going all the way back, Halach L'mash Misinai, from this Pasuk, the Medrash understands, Ya'anenu B'kol. Zal Shema Tikkunim, Vada Inun Shluchit Zibur Atzrichan, Karkaran Sefer Torah, Tichatchon Malin, V'lo Yemron Lahon Ba'alata Kegavna, V'senet Ditmar Bahon Abasa Odenu V'aven Achla Ba'alta, V'ilohav V'tachlon Lay. So the way that we read it has to be maintained and preserved, cannot be corrupted, not only the words and the text and the spelling, but the chant, the trup as well. Rosh Sternbach, Rav Moshe Sternbach, source number 5, in Shuas Van Hagos, Simon Kuf Mem Ches, as the following question was asked. Yachid Shloshama Kamatevos B'Kriyas HaTorah, M'chay L'Shmo B'Mokam Acher. You go to shul, and your child is pulling on your leg and talking in your ear, and you miss a few words of Kriyas HaTorah. You have to excuse yourself and go to the restroom for Kriyas HaTorah. You sneeze, and in that sneeze, you get ugly looks now from people if you sneeze in shul, but in that sneeze, you missed half a pasuk or a pasuk. It could be a long sneeze or a series of sneeze. Allergies, not corona. Everybody relax. So the question is, do you have to stay for the next minyan? Do you have to hear Kriyas HaTorah all over again? Upon whom is this obligation of hearing the Torah? When Moshe said we can't go 3 days without Torah, is that a mitzvah like taking the Dalad Minim, hearing the shofar? It's incumbent on every one of us, independently, privately. Or is it somehow a chovas hatzibur? The community needs to have a public Torah reading. I as an individual am not obligated per se, but we as a community need a collective communal Torah reading. So that's the question Rav Sternbach has asked. And he says the following, Beker achi of Kriyas HaTorah, Hevesim Malkam Acher, Divrei HaKadosh HaAri, Psefer HaKavanos, Shuzman Meruba Espalu Atzlo Tzibur V'lo Shama Kriyas HaTorah, Shoye Begolos V'lo B'mkoma L'o Tilto Sefer Torah Latzeis, that the Arizal had an experience. And we can relate to this during Corona. Outdoor minyanim, where not all, or not any, or not many, have Kriyas HaTorah. Yesterday I was a Shiva minyan outdoors. And it was a clear blue sky here in South Florida. Only in Florida can you appreciate this. What seemed like a clear blue sky, out of absolute nowhere, it began to drizzle and then pour for about 40 seconds, and then it stopped and it was nice. What if the Sefer Torah were Chas V'Shalom open and being read from during that downpour? Even just 40 seconds. could compromise the kashrus of a Torah. So it's very, very complicated whether you should be reading the Torah outdoors right now. Certainly if there's no tent, no protection, the heat, the humidity can have major compromising effects on a Sefer Torah. So we're not the first who had to forfeit Kriyas HaTorah. The Azirizah references it. V'dayta mashma she'enu chiyav kokach liyachid, rak ko atzibur chayavan lekro. The Arizal, the assumption of the Arizal is that there is no individual obligation. There is no obligation on the person, like we have to wear tefillin every day, or like we have to say Shema every day, but rather it is a collective communal obligation. But tzibur shalom koma like a chiyuva. And when the tzibur is on us, there is no obligation. I am Magen Avram, Birke Yosef. V'tzarech bira v'yachid shemitztarav mekayim ha-mitzvah av ha-yesodo chiyuv l'tzibur. So when you hear Kriyas HaTorah, you are achieving the mitzvah of learning, reading, hearing Torah. So you're getting an individual kiyum, an individual fulfillment of a mitzvah, but the obligation is incumbent upon the community. V'chem Shulchan Aruch sim kuf mem vav. Isa shem yesha sara detzaisi mutar l'lmod kishtarasum naso. Ayin sham bir halacha. Shetama meh Shulchan Aruch mashu nainu afilim lo shama Kriyas Torah. V'tama har kolish yish mutachiv tekanas Ezra. Ayin sham. So Rav Sternbach says there's different opinions. Is it on everybody? Is it on the individual? When the whole tzibur is unable, are they exempt? Was it only then when there was a base Knesset Kavua for the tzibur? Maybe today we're all obligated as individuals to join the tzibur, so even though we don't have an individual obligation in hearing the Torah per se, but since we have to join the tzibur, and the tzibur has to have a Kriyas HaTorah, by extension we're obligated. So it's unclear, there's a machlokas, the nature of this din. Ulefiza nira, sha'af shekolach tzorach lishtatev b'tzibur sheni v'chamishi v'shabbos shekorim b'Torah, even though every individual needs to go to shul, and needs to attend the tefillah b'tzibur, and there, here, the Torah read, "Kedei letzarav letzibur sheis kaim atakan lekra betzibur v'chomer mitfil betzibur ba'alma she'en atakan chazal kamahu." So it's interesting. I can daven Shmon Esrei on my own, and I'm yotzei the mitzvah of tefillah. There are people who cannot attend the minyan. There are people; it's dangerous, it's unsafe. They have a secondary condition. They're in an age category. There's no safe minyan to attend, so they have to daven alone. Are they yotzei tefillah? Of course. Is a mitzvah daven, and your yotzei tefillah, even if you daven alone, even if you're not joining with a minyan. There's also a mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a kiyum? How incumbent? How binding is it? What are the circumstances where you are exempt from it? There's a whole other subject. So, says Rav Sternbach, the mitzvah b'tzibur of hearing the Kriyas HaTorah is stronger than the chiyuv of tefillah b'tzibur, the obligation to daven with a minyan. Yes, there's an obligation to daven with a minyan, and it's not as strong as the obligation of hearing Kriyas HaTorah with the minyan. Because that goes back to Takanas Ezra, goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Bikom makom ben etztarf latzibur v'lo shama hakol, shuv ein lahatricho midai, sheyesod ha-takana kayem, kishen etztarf latzibur shekoren, v'hita ozno l'shmoa. So now, since it's a chovas atzibur, as an individual, I'm once removed. Meaning, Boker Haton Synagogue and Boker Haton have an obligation to have the Torah be read, to hear the Torah. There's a collective communal obligation. I, as an individual, have a responsibility and obligation to contribute to and participate in the community. I don't have a specific direct obligation to hear the Torah read. I have an obligation to participate in the community, and the community has an obligation in hearing the Torah read. Therefore, because of this indirect connection, says Rav Sternbach, if I miss a word or a pasuk, I'm yotzei. I was there for most of the Kriyas HaTorah. I did my part to contribute and participate and be part of the tzibur who heard the Torah being read. And the fact that I missed a sentence, or the fact that I missed a little bit, I as an individual am not obligated in it all. I'm obligated to do my part for the tzibur. And the tzibur had the whole total Torah reading. And therefore, I don't have to go to another minyan to hear what I missed. V'ashenenas v'lo shama kov lo kim kol ha-mitzvah. In other words, my obligation in Kriyas HaTorah is to fulfill the takana that the tzibur needs Kriyas HaTorah. That's my obligation to Kriyas HaTorah. My obligation to Kriyas HaTorah is not that I have to hear every sentence of the Torah being read. My obligation is I have to make sure the Torah is read in public. So when I make sure of that by participating, by showing up, if I missed a little as an individual, I'm not obligated. So it'd be a big tircha to stay and hear the Torah be read a second time because you missed something, because you sneezed, or you went to the bathroom, or chas v'shalom, someone said something to you, you're not obligated to hear the whole Torah again. When the Nasi died, they would daven individually, but they would still gather for the Torah being read because that takana was in force. You see from there, that the obligation to fulfill the takana, that the community have a public experience of learning and reading Torah, is even stronger, more intense, more binding than the obligation of tefillah b'tzibur. You see, the people lived in villages where they didn't have a minyan or a balkorei or a sefer Torah. They would come to the big city to hear the Torah read on Monday and Thursday. Why didn't the people who live in villages, why didn't they schlep into the big city every single day? Why did they get away with only schlepping to the big city Monday and Thursday? What about tefillah b'tzibur? They didn't daven with a minyan. So the answer is, says Rav Sternbach, you see that the communal obligation to ensure that the Torah is being read publicly is even stronger than the obligation of making sure that there's a minyan. Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur is stronger than tefillah b'tzibur. But it's an obligation ultimately on the tzibur, not the yachid. The community has to ensure there was a Torah reading and it was read, and it's not an obligation on the individual. What if you're reading the Torah and the halacha is that you have to read it from the Torah itself? It comes up sometimes, the bar mitzvah boy knows the whole Kriyas HaTorah ba'peh and starts to look around and admire and pose for Sports Center and is looking around at the bubby and making sure she's proud and the mommy and the zayda and this person who gave him the gift and the rabbi is nervous, he's going to have to go stand next to. And the halacha is you got to look inside. You got to look inside the Sefer Torah. First of all, you got to look inside for Kriyas HaTorah. And second of all, you're not allowed to recite Dvarim Shebechsav, Torah, which is a text. You're not allowed to say it by heart. So Rav Sternbach points out, that's true for Torah en masse. But there are exceptions. If you read a phrase, an expression, a clause, Baal Peh, then you're still Yotzei. We're very makbet on this Kriyas Torah B'tzibur. That if the person makes a mistake with one letter, we send them back. So the tzibur, if there's a mistake in the reading, it needs to be corrected. But the individual who missed out on some of the reading does not need to attend another reading. Why? Because the chovas hatzibur, the obligation on the community, that's what we have to ensure and to provide. The obligation on the individual is there is no obligation. Well, the fiza benidon she'ela shalanu. So coming back to our question, says Rav Sternbach, kamatevas b'sheni v'chachisar, kamatevas b'sheni v'chamisha, on a Monday or Thursday, somebody missed out. V'loshama teisha p'sukim shleimim v'shabasos. Didn't hear all nine p'sukim, it really should be 10. Nirashim nitztarf l'tzibor v'hita ozno l'shmoa, avid ketakonis Ezra. If you made it, if you showed up, if you listened, even if you didn't hear it all, your yotzei, your commitment to takonis Ezra. Again, takonis Ezra was not that every individual needs to hear the Torah read. Takanas Ezra was that every individual has to ensure that the community has the Torah be read. Whatever you missed, fill in. Just reading it on your own from a chumash. According to this, the takanas for the tzibur, the yachid, chavas l'shtatev l'tzibur. Our responsibility, make sure there's a community. The community's responsibility, the Torah is read. And that is the halachic conclusion. Okay. Good. Moving right along. Sefer Isha Yisrael, source number 6. Everyone still sees it inside? Yeah. Source number 6, Isha Yisrael, is a halachic compendium that deals with halachas of tefillah. And here he's got a section dealing with the Hisnagus b'nei Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael v'chutzlars, kesha parshios l'shavos. What are the practices and the differences between those who live in Israel and those who live in the diaspora in Chutz La'aretz when the parshios don't match up? What do you do? We're not on the same, we sometimes will read a double parsha in order to get on the same page, literally. But until then, we could be reading a different parsha altogether. So what happens when an American goes to Israel? What happens when an Israeli comes to America? So says the Isha Yisrael, B'nei Chutz La'aretz she'gil Eretz Yisrael la'achar ha'achar me'achagim. Why does that happen? It happens sometimes when there's a second day Yontif, which is Shabbos. So in Chutz La'aretz, you're still reading the Yontif leaning. But in Eretz Yisrael, where that second day is not Yontif, but a Shabbos, it's a Kriyas HaTorah of the cycle of Torah reading. So now in Chutz La'aretz, we're one Shabbos behind. So right after Yontif, the Israeli comes to America. And that next Shabbos, they're going to hear a Parsha that they heard the previous Shabbos in Israel. So what should they do? So B'nei Chutz La'aretz she'gil Eretz Yisrael la'acher echad me'achagim she'chalu be'erev Shabbos she'b'chutz la'aretz ha'yu l'machar es yom tov she'ni v'kor kriya she yontif v'eretz Yisrael koro b'Shabbos v'ha'parsha shalos ha'shavua b'Shabbos haba tzrichim B'nei Chutz La'aretz l'hashlim kriya se'osa parsha shalo karu. So again, what happens? The opposite. B'nei Chutz La'aretz she'gil Eretz Yisrael. What happens when an American comes to Eretz Yisrael after one of the Yom Tovim? And now they're going to have missed the Parsha because they read the Yontif. Again, Yontif in America was Friday Shabbos. So what happens when Yontif is Friday Shabbos? When Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, or the last days of Pesach, are Friday Shabbos, what happens? We read 2 days of Yontif Leining. What do they do in Eretz Yisrael? Friday they read Yontif Leining. Shabbos they read whatever the Parsha is. Let's say Bereishis in this case. So now the American goes to Israel, and the following Shabbos, in Israel they're going to be reading Noach, and in America they're going to be reading Bereishis. And if this American listens to Noach in Israel, what will he never hear? Bereishis. So what's the halacha? So he says, B'Shabbos haba tzrichim b'nei Chutz La'aretz l'hashlim kriyas oso parsha lo karu. The people from Chutz La'aretz have to fill in and read the parsha that they missed. That's what he says. Look at the footnote. Peches. Ayin yisod yishurin. Afshach arov atzibur kvar shamu ach b'nei chutz la'aretz b'shabbos sha'avra adayin lo yitzchayv b'kriya parsha zu. Even though most of the people, most of the tzibur in America will have heard Parshas Bereishis the next week, this individual missed it. This individual missed it. So how do you fulfill it in? So if you skip down what I underlined in the footnote, he says Rav Neubert Zatzal, the author of Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, the great Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman, you don't need to hold a real Kriya Satorah, but you certainly need to do Shnai Mikra Vechatargum. So the weekly obligation to be Mar Besedra, just because you went to Eretz Yisrael, and now you fast forward, you expedited, you skipped the Parsha, they're up to Noach there, and we're only reading Bereishis here, you don't have to actually take out a Sefer Torah, because that's a Chovas Hatzibur, but you do need to do Shnai Mikra Vechatargum. You do need to fill in Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum. Okay, so all of this was the history of the background of the introduction, the origin, the source of Kriyas HaTorah. The source of Kriyas HaTorah goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, was Mesakein, so that we don't go 3 days without water. Ezra expanded it, that not only do we read Torah Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday, but you have to read a minimum of 3 aliyahs and a minimum of 10 psukim. Why were Monday and Thursday chosen? It could have been Shabbos, Tuesday, Thursday. Why specifically is it Shabbos, Monday, Thursday? Tosfos said Monday and Thursday. Thursday Moshe went up, second Luchos, Monday he came down. Maharal said, why did Moshe go up those days? Because it was already designated and programmed as Yemei HaDin. These are very significant, auspicious days of judgment, justice. And that's why Monday and Thursday have prominence in our weekly calendar. Long Tachanun, Fasting Bahab, Kriyas HaTorah, and in other ways, market days. Those were days of the market. Those are the days that the Beis Din sits, and so on and so forth. What is the nature of this obligation that Moshe imposed and that Ezra expanded? The nature is that it's a chovas hatzibur. It's an obligation on the tzibur, not the individual. The nature is it's not like shofar or lulav or tefillin. It's an obligation on the whole tzibur, on the community. We as individuals have a responsibility and obligation that there be a tzibur who hears Kriyas HaTorah, but it's not on us as individuals. Which means to say that, you know, if I didn't put on tefillin, I have to put it on later in the day. But if I didn't hear Kriyas HaTorah, but there was minyan at shul, and the tzibur held a minyan with Kriyas HaTorah, then I don't have my own obligation that remains, because the chovas hatzibur was fulfilled by the tzibur having a public Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, good. Let me look for 1 second. All the weeks that there was no minyan or COVID, the parshiyos have to be made up. Rabbi Maskos gave a chabura on this several weeks ago, and there's a big machlokas. What happens if we were all onus all the weeks? Go back to Pesach time. Go back to Pesach time. All the weeks that we were closed down, maybe around the world, there were weeks that it's possible the Torah was not read anywhere on the planet Earth, which is really astounding, maybe for the first time in history, because it was a global pandemic. So what is the halachic obligation on the tzibur when we came back? Do we have to read and make up all the parshios we missed? This is not the first plague, the first epidemic or pandemic the Jewish people have suffered. There's significant halachic literature on that subject, and there were poskim, Rav Schechter, Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Zilberstein, they all put out tshuvas about that question today. Do we read all the parshios? Some poskim said the maximum you could read is 2 because of tircha de tzibura. So if you miss, let's say the community's onus and they miss 1 parsha, the next week they read 2. But if they miss 2 parshios, the third week they only read the previous week. They don't read 3. Why? Because it would be a tircha de tzibur to sit and read 3, 4, 8, 10, 12, however many weeks we read, would be an unfair burden on the tzibur, so we are exempt. The most you can obligate is 2 in a row. It's a fascinating nafka mina. I saw this afterwards. I saw it quoted by Rabbi Weinfeld, who quoted the following. There's a big machlokas, Rishonim, what we consider Netzavim Vayelech. Are Netzavim Vayelech 1 parsha or 2 parshios? How do we calculate Netzavim Vayelech? What's the nafka mina, whether it's 1 parsha or 2 parshios? We read them together. So the answer was this question. If the community had to miss Netzavim Vayelech, the following week, would they only read Vayelech Hazinu? Or would you read Netzavim Vayelech Hazinu, because Netzavim Vayelech are 1 parsha? It's a machlokas, how you categorize Netzavim and Vayelech with the nafka mina of when you'd make it up in subsequent weeks. Okay. If the obligation is on Tzibur, why does the individual have to read the parsha on his own? That's a separate obligation of Shnayim Mikra, the Echad Targum. It's based on a Gemara, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, how we can fulfill the Echad Targum. Can you substitute Rashi today? But there's an obligation. A Jew has to be proficient in our Holy Torah, in our Chumash. So we have to read every week, you have to be Mar B'Sedra. You have to read the Parsha twice, with either Unklus, Targum, with Rashi, in order to be able to understand what's going on in the Parsha. There is the communal collective learning we do, called Kriyas HaTorah, and there's the private learning I do, which is being marba, etc. Okay, going back. Hold on, let me just move my chat over here so I can still see. Okay, moving right along. So all of that is the history. Very good. Now, why don't we, in the original enactment of reading the Torah Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, what would happen is the person who read got the Aliyah. We changed it today. Today we have an Ola and a Balkore. We have the person who receives the Aliyah, and we have the person who reads the Torah. When did that happen? Tosus and Baba Basra, source 7. Tosus and Baba Basra addresses this question. Tosus says the following. So the Gemara Baba Basra talks about the final 8 psukim of the Torah, who wrote them and how we read them. And he says that these 8 need to be read. So the Gemara Megillah says that how the Torah is read, the Gemara there in Megillah is what goes through the history of when this was enacted, Kriyas HaTorah separately than the Aliyahs. We don't have 1 Balkore who reads the whole Parsha, which makes 1, right? In the old days, 1 Balkore read the whole Parsha, made 1 bracha at the beginning, and 1 bracha at the end. We now divide it up into 7 Aliyahs, And each aliyah gets its own bracha at the beginning and at the end. And each aliyah has the person who reads it, and then the person who gets the aliyah. When and why did this happen? Says Rabbeinu Tam, Kiddush lo yivayesh mishayinu dilekros ba'atzmo. Because what would happen? You would embarrass a person who got the aliyah, but had no idea how to read the Torah. So that's when we instituted, you know what? Nobody reads their own aliyah. We have a designated reader, and everyone else gets the aliyah, and that way you don't distinguish who was called to the Torah. This one knew how to read on their own, and that one had no idea how to read on their own. Kenyan shematzinim mesachas bikurim. And where else do we see a parallel to this? We see a similar thing in Bikurim. The Mishnah, the third parak of Bikurim says, Kol mishir de'a likros kor ba'atzmo. Shir ye'enio de'a likros makrim lefanav. Nimnu milhalavi Bikurim. So his kinishir makrim is mishir de'likros, as mishir de'likros. Originally, when a person would bring, the farmer would bring their first fruit, the first fig, the first of the seven species that grew, the farmer would come to the base of Mikdash, and there was written, there was a big plaque, and the farmer would recite the Mikra Bikurim. The farmer would recite the special text, the liturgy of bringing Bikurim. But what happened? We had people who didn't know how to read. They were not proficient, they were not literate, and they were humiliated. They were ashamed. They were utterly and thoroughly embarrassed. So we designated that would be a designated Bikurim reader. So every farmer, the scholarly farmer and the ignoramus farmer alike, would show up, and the Mikra Bikurim would be read for them. And that's the origin of the Mikra Bikurim not being read by the individual farmer, but being read instead by a special designated person, says Tosfos, similarly with Kriyas HaTorah. In order to avoid the person getting the aliyah being embarrassed, others know how to read their own aliyah, this individual doesn't, we designated that everybody who's called is a Balkori who does the reading, and there's the Ola who gets the aliyah, and there's separate institutions and practices in order to not embarrass. Anyone know a third area of halacha? That at least according to some, one person is reciting something for everyone in order not to embarrass the people who wouldn't know how to say it on their own. Anyone know the third area? You can unmute yourself or put it in the chat. It's not quoted here in Tosfos. At least according to the Rambam. It is Birchas Erusin. According to the Rambam, we studied this together in a previous afternoon kol. According to the Rambam, Birchas Erusin is a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's a bracha on doing a mitzvah. So I don't understand, why doesn't the chassan make the bracha? It's his mitzvah, he's getting married. The Rosh disagrees and says it's just a hechsher mitzvah, pruavu, but there's no mitzvah per se to get married. So according to the Rambam, there's a distinct mitzvah to get married. So I don't understand. When I have the mitzvah of the lulav, I make the bracha on the lulav. A mitzvah of tefillin, I make the bracha on the tefillin. So why isn't the chassan making the bracha on getting married? Al Kiddushin. Why is the bracha being recited by a Masada Kiddushin? So the Rambam says, you know why? Because Chassanim, not everybody knows a bracha. Not everybody knows how to read. Not everybody knows how to recite. Not everybody knows it by heart. So in order to protect and preserve the dignity of Chassanim, to make sure that they will undergo a kosher wedding and that they'll have proper Erusin Minasuin, it was established that there would be a Masada Kiddushin who would recite the Birchas Erusin on behalf of the Chassan. It was done on behalf of the Chassan, so there's a third area. So we see three areas. Two are quoted by Tosfos. One is the Mishnah in Bikurim, the second Tosfos, and the third is the Rambam. One is Bikurim, a designated person to recite for all the farmers in order to protect anyone from being embarrassed who didn't know how to read it. The second is Kriyas HaTorah, that we have a designated Baal Korei in order to preserve and protect the embarrassment of someone who would be called to the Torah for an aliyah but wouldn't know how to read it. And the third is a chassan for their wedding who would have to recite a Birchas Erusin but wouldn't know how. Okay. Shulchan Aruch, Orach Chaim Siman Kuf Mem Aleph, Sif Aleph. Tzorach Likros Me'uman. The Baal Korei has to read standing. Ba'afilu Lesmoch Atzmo Koso Olam Od Oser. Baal Korei should not be leaning on the wall. The Baal Korei should not be leaning on the shtender or the bima. Baal Korei has to stand. The person is so heavy, so obese, the only way to balance them is to balance using something else. Then they'd be allowed to. But otherwise, anyone capable of standing on their own must stand on their own. Says the Ramah, V'chein ha-chazan ha-korei tzorech la'amad im ha-korei. So, ha-chazan ha-korei, the one getting the aliyah and the one reading the Torah, both need to stand and should not be leaning. That is the first halacha. Halacha beis, lo yekru shnayim, both two people should not recite, read the same Torah out loud. Ela ha'ola korah u'shleach tzibur shosek. O, shleach tzibur korah va'ola leikra b'korah. Either the one getting the aliyah reads it out loud and the shleach tzibur, the designated, is quiet, or the designated bal korah reads the Torah, and the ola should not say it out loud, should say it in an undertone quietly to themselves. So this is the origin of why is it when you get an aliyah, you're supposed to also recite it quietly. So first of all, it's a tall order. If you're not a bal korah and you're getting an aliyah, the expectation that you know the proper punctuation, that you know how to recite along with the bal korah, is an enormous assumption. If you knew how to punctuate and read properly, you might as well be the bal korah. It's an enormous assumption. Number two, one of the biggest pet peeves for Bali Kriya is when the Ola is not just saying it quietly to themselves, when they're saying it so loudly. And it messes up the bal korah. A lot of bal korahs have problems. The person getting the aliyah is saying it too loudly. And they're saying it loudly enough that the bal korah hears can throw them off their game. So the halacha is, if the one getting the aliyah wants to read, let him read. And the bal korah is quiet. The gabbai is quiet. If the bal korah is reading, then the one getting the aliyah should not read it out loud and compete with the bal korah, but also is not entitled to stand there quietly. Why? Because then it's a bracha levatala. The whole bracha of getting the aliyah is a bracha on the Torah reading. It's the bracha on the reading of the Torah that you're doing. So you need to read the Torah quietly in an undertone to yourself in order for it to not be a bracha levatala, but not loud enough that it will disturb the bal korah or make it complicated for the tzibur to hear. Tzarech likros benachas shelo yashmil la'anav. It should be in such an undertone that you can't hear and the bal korah can't hear. It should be quiet. Va'afilo mashmil la'aznav leka lamechash t'lo'adav mitfila. And if you're loud that you can hear, don't worry about it, but it shouldn't be loudly enough that the bal korah hears. Comes along the Mishnah Berura, and the Mishnah Berura says the following. Uchem min hagenu achshav shelo'ola mashlech tzibur korah afilo kesha'ola hubaki. Our minhag today is that the Chazan reads, even if the Ola is a baki, working off of Tosfos, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, even if you have someone getting an aliyah, who knows? What happens if you're giving a bal korah an aliyah? They happen to not be the bal korah of that particular parsha, but they know how to lane. Should they take over the laning of that aliyah? No. Why? Because we're trying to protect the next guy. The next guy who gets an aliyah. So do you imagine the Kohen happens to know his reading, he reads. The Levi happens to know his reading, he reads. And you call up that Yisrael, the idiot Yisrael, and he says, I need a bal korah, I don't know how to read. He's going to be humiliated. In order to protect the dignity, which was the whole institution of a bal korah, we said, even if you know how to lane your own aliyah, don't lane it. Why? We're going to embarrass the next guy who doesn't know. And therefore, even someone who knows how to lane their own aliyah should not lane it, and rather, we have an institution across the board of a bal korah who shall always do the reading. The gam yimatzu har b'shein yodem mitov lekros anikudos v'tam v'yirtz lekros v'atzibar en yotzen b'kriyasan u'kshim na'u mikriya osu l'intzuyei. And another reason Mishnah Berurah says is, not everybody who claims to be a bal korah is a bal korah. So the fact that guy says, you know what, let me lane my own aliyah, I know how to lane my own aliyah. Your bal korah is likely on your list of bali kriya. They're probably a good, bona fide, qualified bal korah. But your ola, who says, oh, I know how to lane this aliyah, likely doesn't know it as well as he thinks, and therefore you're doing a disservice if you let him. So two reasons not to let an ola get to lane their own aliyah. Number one, the whole institution of the bal korah was to avoid embarrassing the next guy. And if you let someone lane their own aliyah, you're going to embarrass the next guy, number one. And number two is, he probably is not going to be qualified to lane. What about a bar mitzvah boy? Can a bar mitzvah boy lane their own aliyah? Can a bar mitzvah boy lane their own aliyah? We'll start with this next week. Not very popular, but of the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, of Shechter quotes, is an oracle of Shechter wrote about Kriyas HaTorah. Rabbi Soloveitchik said no. He was opposed to the practice of having a bar mitzvah boy read his entire sedra, including his own aliyah. It's a violation of the minhag. The minhag was no one lanes their own aliyah. So you could either lane, or you could get an aliyah, but you shouldn't and can't do both. But we'll see other opinions. And then we'll get to the other second half of the subject, which is, hold your fire. When do we correct bar mitzvah boy or any bal korah? When is a mistake that's worthy of correcting? What happens if they make a mistake in punctuation? What happens if they make a mistake in the word? What happens if they make a mistake in the trop? Do you have to correct them if they make a mistake just in the trop? We'll continue with all of that in Mirza Hashem next time. Thank you so much for joining. And please stay tuned. We have an incredible lineup. You have about a 5-minute break now until the next year. 4 days a week, amazing lining of local Rabbanim and national, international Rabbanim. Stay tuned for incredible Kolel series this year. Robert.